Hello and welcome to The Common Good. Filling in for Joe Clemens, I'm your guest host, Jason Hassler. You may know me from my show, Hassling the Paranormal, that airs Thursdays at 6 p.m. right here on KXRW. This episode's guests of The Common Good are John Treadwell and Mark Joseph, owners of The Under Bar, Vancouver's only gay bar. All right, welcome to the studio, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
Doing great.
So let me ask you, how long have you guys owned The Under Bar?
We've owned The Under Bar since January the 1st, 2022.
All right. And where are you guys from?
From Atlanta originally. That's the southern accent.
We both are.
Okay. So what brought you to Vancouver, Washington?
It was a bucket list that I had years ago. We were living in Florida, and I wanted to live in Key West. I wanted to live in a high-rise in a downtown setting, and I wanted to live on the West Coast. So we moved to Key West for 2 years, moved to Chicago for four, and then to the West Coast and Vancouver.
All right. So what is it about Vancouver that had you want to stay here and open a bar?
I was in medical prior to owning a bar, so it had a practice that was available here in Vancouver. I used to do the things that no one needs, like Botox and dermal fillers and things like that. Yeah. Kind of like a bar. Nobody needs alcohol, but everybody wants it. Same thing with Botox. Nobody needs it, but everybody wants it.
Yeah. So what changes have you made from the person you originally purchased it from?
It was originally a speakeasy, and although very successful at the time, we couldn't find a gay bar in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Had to go to Portland to find a gay bar. So I said, the heck with it, we'll make a gay bar in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And that was the impetus of opening Under Bar, was having a gay bar for Vancouver, plus a show bar.
Yeah. What kind of shows do you guys have there?
We have something every night, like Monday's comedy, Tuesday's trivia, Wednesday's a drag show, Thursday's bingo. It can be adult bingo or drag bingo. And same thing for Friday, we'll do a drag show. And tonight, Saturday, we have a
comedy show.
So most Saturdays is a comedy show. And then Sunday, again, drag.
And we do paranormal once a month.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard the guy that does that's pretty cool. Yeah, we got the 17th, we got a lady named Stephanie Stefan. And she's an animal communicator.
Exciting.
Yeah, she just wrote a book. The book came out, and it's about the unconditional love and what we can learn from animals and that kind of stuff. So she's going to come and talk about that, and hopefully people will show up to see that, and she'll have her book and all that kind of stuff for everybody.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, should be good. So the bar is haunted. Can you guys tell me, have you guys had any experiences yourselves, or just more of what you heard from other people?
Many.
Yes. I've had experiences in the bar that I could not explain.
Yeah.
Things moving, things happening that I just can't explain why it happened.
Yeah.
But it happened because I saw it. Yes, haunted it is.
I've always been a skeptic, meaning that, you know, I have to see it to believe it. And even when we bought the bar, and everyone that's ever worked there, past or present, has seen something, felt something, heard something. And so I'd say, yeah. And you know, after owning the bar and after being there and working there, I would see things that just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Things fly off the wall, especially in the kitchen. Just an energy, just a feeling there. And it's very strange because things will happen there and then it'll be nothing, gone. And then I started to tell myself, you know, I probably was just in my imagination. Those other people were just, maybe it was their imagination. And then something happens. I'm thinking, oh, no. I mean, just recently we've had one of our bartenders was leaving, probably a few weeks back. And they said if he was going up the steps, he heard someone scream at him.
Yeah.
And he had forgotten something downstairs, and he said, I'm not going back down there. So he went out and locked the door. But I hear voices sometimes when I'm working, as you know, the bathrooms are downstairs at the bottom of the stairs. And I know there's no one upstairs because it's like a Monday, so that place, the business upstairs is closed, the sandwich shop. And I hear faint voices like someone's talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll be sitting at the bar and I'll go around the corner and I'll say, who are you talking to? And he's looking at his phone. I'm not talking to anybody. I said, well, I know I hear voices. So there's that. So just a lot of unexplained things, lights going on and off by themselves and different things like that.
How do you guys feel about it? Is it, you find it cool at this point, or is it kind of freaky, or?
It's a little, I think we've just grown to live with it,
yeah.
You know? Like I said, sometimes it'll be quiet for weeks, months. You think they've gone away and then they come back, but it's just, it's kind of expected now. You know, now when something strange happens, then the staff will say the same thing. Oh, there's a ghost again, you know?
Jeff Davis is a local historian. He told me that when he did research on the bar, he found out it used to be a local AA place, which is interesting.
That is
right?
Correct. Yeah. It was what was called a blue door. So if you were court mandated to attend AA meetings, you had to attend AA meetings at what is under bar now.
And we still have people that come in that came to those AA meetings and say, you know, I used to come here with so-and-so. I never, you know, in a million years dreamed this would be a bar.
Yeah.
So
there's AA at that bar.
Yeah. So there is a story, sort of like a folklore, whatever you want to call it, that apparently during that time when it was AA, there was a guy standing at the bottom of the steps checking people in.
Yeah.
And apparently the story goes that obviously he's passed away and his ghost is the one haunting. He was nasty, yelled at people. And I've heard that people have been yelled at from a ghost. So they think it's that guy haunting the place.
You never know. It could be. I mean, who knows what that was there even before the bar was there. I mean, Vancouver's a pretty historical place. So.
For sure.
So, Mark, let me ask you, what was your professional experience before owning the bar? What did you do?
Well, I was working with John. I was in marketing. John was in, as he said, aesthetics, specifically Botox, fillers, things like that, anything to do with aesthetics. And I was sort of behind the scenes marketing social media for him, for his business, and as well as whatever practices he would be working at the time. Yeah. Sometimes he'd be in a practice a day, sometimes a week, a month, sometimes 2 or 3 years. And so I would go into the offices, kind of assess what they were doing as far as their social media and their graphics. And a lot of promotions, we did a lot of events. And so I'd create a graphics and, you know, like packages and things like that. And just to help bring business in, just content creators, what we call it now, of course.
All right. So one of the things I want to ask about the bar is what is your menu? What kind of foods do you guys offer and that kind of thing?
I guess it's traditional pub food, you know, burgers and fries and sandwiches and a lot of we have air fryers instead of regular fryers. A lot of people like that. It's a little healthier, chicken strips and things like that. And our burgers disappeared for a while, deviled eggs, but we brought them back and people are thrilled about that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just your general pub food. We have cocktails too, and we serve a lot of alcohol, of course.
Do you have a particular drink that's your favorite?
Gosh, you know, I've been, probably shouldn't say this, but I've been sober for almost a year only because of a weight loss. As you know, I've lost about 50 pounds over the past year purposely. And the only way to do that was to lose weight. But when I drink, it's high in bourbon, high in bourbon. We have a lot of fun cocktails that we make that I don't care too much for. It's a lot of sugar, but if I drink, it's high in bourbon.
It must be really hard to stop drinking working in a bar.
It is, and it was, because there were many times, especially in the beginning, I was working everywhere. I was working in the front. I was working in the back. And we'd get all, you know, we'd close, and I'd finally get the kitchen closed down. I'd come out, and I'd see people drinking beer. And I just thought, oh, God, I just can't wait to get off because we can't drink while we're working. And it was just kind of like my treat to have a beer, whatever, you know, I was drinking at the time. I guess it was dark beer. And in some ways, I do miss that. Some have some interesting names.
Yeah.
Not sure if I could say them on the air.
Some of them aren't radio appropriate.
But anything with sugar and alcohol, especially women, you know, in their late 20s, 30s, they love that. Even men, too.
Yeah.
It was funny because at one point we had a lot of a certain type of alcohol and chasers, as we call them, schnapps.
Yeah.
And they were just piling up in the back, over-ordered previous barman, or we don't know why. So we came up with something just to get rid of that particular brand of alcohol or schnapps. And it became so popular that now we just stock it, you know?
Oh, nice.
And, you know, we have a big, as you know, we have a big chalkboard. When you come right to the bar, you look, and there it is right to the top. But, you know, a lot of people now have gone to non-alcoholic, or they're not drinking as much. And we do have a lot of canned non-alcoholic versions too. So if you want that bar experience without having to worry about drinking, we have that. And of course, we can make mocktails too.
Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here and hear from our sponsors.
The Columbian and Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at KindredVancouver.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good. I'm your guest host, Jason Hassler. I'm here with Mark Joseph and John Treadwell of The Underbar. Welcome back, guys. What is your goal for this space when you bought The Underbar?
I wanted a safe place for everyone. I could not find a safe place for the LGBT community when we bought the bar, so that was the impetus of buying the bar, to create a safe space and also a show bar. There were no shows. There were no drag shows and Vancouver, so we needed something as far as entertainment and a show bar in Vancouver, so people didn't have to go across the river to Portland.
Yeah, there used to be a gay bar in Vancouver. I think what was it called, the North Bank? I believe it was called.
Yes, that is correct. And actually, the owners have been in the bar, and we've chatted with them about it. So it's a fascinating history of that bar as well. Really is, but yeah. We're glad to be the new place to be in Vancouver.
Probably, you know, of Southwest Washington. I don't know of any other LGBTQ bar that identifies as such.
I don't know of any either, mm-hmm. off the top of my head. Have you found challenges with that as far as with the community or anything like that, or has it been pretty welcoming?
We've had a few challenges, but for the most part, it's been accepting. Yes, there's that occasional person that does a slur or will throw something down the steps. We're in a basement, so yeah. They'll pick up something from outside and throw it down the steps, like or kids, pull the rainbow flag down. But it's been very few and far between. So for the most part, we feel like we've been accepted within the community. There'll always be those outliers that will.
What surprises me is the variety of people that we get in. You know, we changed it over and thought it's going to be a gay bar. It'll just be mainly gay community. We'll have, on a busy night, we assume, a bunch of straight folks, and they're definitely for karaoke. They come with their girlfriends or wives or whatever. And it's just, it's kind of surprising to me in a way, but it's nice to know that the community other than the LGBT community does support the bar. They don't care. They're just there to have a good time. And so when we say on our website that everyone is welcome, we mean everyone. And so, yes, there's a rainbow flag outside, and yes, it's owned by a gay couple, but it doesn't mean it's exclusive. Yeah. You know, it's inclusive. Anybody, as long as you behave yourself, you're welcome.
What would you say the biggest struggle has been with the bar, with like being new bar owners and that kind of thing?
Well, not having the experience in owning a bar ever before, it was a challenge to know exactly how to build a bar. I know how to build a practice with Botox and fillers. So I took that same thought. It's something that no one needs, but everybody wants. And that's kind of like what alcohol is. No one needs it, but everybody wants it, and started marketing it as such. So it's been the biggest challenge has been developing a bar mentality for someone that is not familiar with it at all.
Yeah. I think, too, the other biggest challenge, is, which is the obvious, is we're an underground bar, and the signage is very, very minimal there. There's a sign, there's signs up top, but I don't think anyone sees them in that particular on that particular block. So we have sidewalk signs, and we are fortunate that we are on a corner. So if you're coming down the street, you'll see the signs, you'll see the flag. But just a challenge of just not having that walk by, you know, the like you do with other businesses. You walk by and you say, oh, there's a bar there, because you can see inside. You can't really see inside unless you come down the steps. So that's just the location, but that's just with having an underground bar.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they find out, like, they hear about the Paranormal Pub events that I do there. Yeah. They haven't been there yet. And they say, well, I've heard of the Underbar, but where is it? You know,
right.
And then they show up. And, oh, this is really cool, because it is kind of a cool experience to go down in the basement.
We call it subterranean.
Yeah. You've done a lot of different, as far as remodeling the bar and stuff. You had the paintings of the walls painted and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
everything has been totally redone, because when we bought the bar, the bar itself was a very dark, ugly green with a big black curtain hanging.
And red
for the stairwell.
Same colors as the outside of the building. They used that same paint. I was wondering. Yeah,
must have been cheap.
And the beautiful thing about it, we had a patron that comes in, and I was talking to him about having the bar painted, and he said, oh, I can do that. So we had him paint the bar. I said, I want you to be very creative. The only thing that I will tell you is orange is my favorite color. Other than that, you have free reign to do anything you want.
Nice.
And I think we ended up with a very creative, interesting.
For sure.
I always have people comment, like my friends come down, they comment about the wall and then the ceiling that you guys did as well.
Yeah.
Probably
everybody loves the ceiling.
Probably
everybody
the famous ceiling in Vancouver.
Yeah. For those who cannot see, can you tell the audience what the ceiling looks like?
The ceiling is similar to a tin, what's called a tin ceiling. So it's actually, few people know it, but it's actually plastic panels.
The tiles are plastic,
but it appears to be tin panels for a tin roof in the bar. So get lots of comments on the roof.
The inspiration came from the previous owner. He was Irish background, and he was in Ireland in a pub, and he saw something very similar in the particular pub, fell in love with it, and came back and put all those tiles up. And because it's a low ceiling, a basement bar, it just worked. It just worked.
What would you say has been your biggest success with the bar?
I think getting the community in total to accept a gay bar in Vancouver. We had concerns in the beginning with the straight community also support the bar, and we found that they are very supportive of the bar, and having that all-inclusive is exactly what we had hoped for, was having everyone have a safe place to come in Vancouver, straight, gay. As I say, if you date a monkey, I'll get you some, I'll get something for them to snack on.
Yeah, everybody loves a good drag show, whether you're gay or straight or whatever.
Absolutely.
Oh, hilarious.
Probably more straight people a lot of times than gay people.
Yeah. I find it's funny because older women seem to love drag shows.
Amen. They do. Amen. They love drag shows, and they also love adult bingo.
Well, tell me about the adult bingo.
Adult bingo is...
adult toys.
We'll adult toys. So someone can win creative adult toys while answering creative adult questions for bingo. So it's super popular and probably our single, most popular single event.
What do you see in the future for the Underbar?
I would like to see Underbar continue to expand with even more things going on, more and different shows, because I don't want to limit it to what we currently have. What we have is successful, but I think anytime you become complacent and just comfortable with your business, it can take a downturn. So I want to be sure to be on the what I call the cutting edge of the bar business and have things that people want to see and want to come visit.
Yeah. Two things we've been very successful with and popular fundraisers. We did one for years,
you know.
We packed out the place. People love to support anything with a cause.
Yeah.
They want that, you know. And so anytime we have a fundraiser to raise money for any, especially a nonprofit organization, we had PFLAG a couple months ago. Place was just absolutely packed. Mm-hmm. Raised a lot of money for PFLAG. And like there's a Clark County is like a attorney program for people that you know can't afford legal services.
Yeah.
So we had that, and so that's very, very popular without a doubt.
All right. So for people who have never been there, where can you tell them where the bar is located?
We're on the corner of 17th and Broadway.
All right. So I thank you guys for coming on the show, and I look forward to working with you more with the Paranormal Pub stuff. And thank you guys again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. I want to thank Mark and John, owners of Vancouver's Underbar, for coming on the show. They have been a solid supporter of KXRW, and we appreciate their support. If you are looking for a fun place to hang out any night of the week, head on down to Vancouver's Underbar at 1701 and a half Broadway.
You better work.
Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Underbar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.
This is Your Health Kit. Your Health Kit brings you tips to improve your health and might undo a few medical myths along the way. From the KXRW and X-Ray FM studios, I'm your friendly neighborhood family doctor, Rebecca Hoffman, MD, based in Vancouver, Washington. In 2023, our top doctor, the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, announced that loneliness is a public health crisis. What does that mean, and how does that affect our health? Today, we investigate the sources and solutions to the loneliness epidemic in our country. The Surgeon General's report details the growing evidence of loneliness in America, from people living alone to the lack of nearby friends and family to social isolation. He notes this epidemic began long before the COVID pandemic, but that COVID lockdowns may have accelerated a sense of isolation and hopelessness. Loneliness can lead to physical decline, mental illness, and premature death. Some have equated chronic loneliness to the same health risk as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It results in an increased risk of heart and lung disease, high blood pressure, stroke, and obesity, as well as depression, anxiety, and stress. That's a lot of risk. So what is loneliness? First, loneliness is not the same as being alone. People can be alone for extended periods of time without feeling lonely. Being alone can be healthy and can offer time for reflection or creative thinking. Second, loneliness itself is not pathological. Feeling lonely is a natural phenomenon felt by any of us at some time in our lives. A sense of isolation can actually be protective, prompting us to seek out others to create the social supports we need to survive. In that way, loneliness acts like pain, which signals us to avoid danger and to act. But when aloneness becomes linked to a sense of social isolation or poor self-regard, then loneliness sets in. Loneliness signals a social vulnerability that can result in physical changes, even at the cellular level. It can cause inflammation, contributing to disease. It can upset our sleep-wake cycle, contributing to anxiety, hostility, fatigue, and depression, and even lead to poor cognition and dementia. Sounds serious, and it's increasing all over the world. In the U.S. alone, more than 60% of adults report feeling lonely. Certain groups feel it more, such as single adults, the elderly, and youth. Some people are tempted to blame technology and its distractions, like constantly perusing our smartphone, to driving wedges between us, causing loneliness. The problem is more pervasive than that. It is more deeply related to a loss of trust in the social fabric and the institutions we have constructed to hold us together. Membership in churches, civic organizations, athletic clubs, unions, granges, and the attendance at community events have all fallen off in the last 50 years. Other modern conveniences like self-checkout or meal delivery further erode routine human interaction. Social connectedness is like a muscle. It needs regular exercise and use to become strong. The changes in modern life that have separated us can be creatively addressed. Rather than focusing on what's wrong, we can use these tools to enhance human interaction. So what can you do? Promote policies that enhance social infrastructure, like parks, libraries, and playgrounds, all of which encourage togetherness. Assess your own use of digital media to determine if how your use detracts from your connection with others around you. We may mistake our sense of unease as weakness or self-pity. That's where a trip to your doctor comes in handy. If you are feeling unwell, whether physically or emotionally, and you don't know exactly why, your doctor can assess you for signs of loneliness and educate you on ways to improve your health. And that's your Health Kit tip for today. Loneliness, when associated with social isolation and low self-regard, can lead to real health problems. But you can take steps to improve both your outlook and your health. From the studios of KXRW and X-Ray FM, I'm Dr. Hoffman. See you next time.